Good morning. Romans chapter 4, verses 1 to 5 say this: What then shall we say that Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh, has found in the past? Romans 4, 2. For if Abraham was justified, that is, declared righteous by works, and for the sake of argument, let's assume that that lie is true, then Abraham has something to boast about, perhaps before men, but certainly not before God. Romans 4, 3. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed in God, in Jehovah Elohim, in the Lord Jesus Christ, in his pre-incarnate state, by expressing faith alone in Christ alone. And this faith was credited to him and imputed to his account as absolute righteousness. Romans 4, 4. Now to the one who works, and that is for salvation, his wage that is paid to him is not credited as a favor, as grace, but his wage is earned as what is due. Romans 4, 5. But to the one who does not work for salvation, but believes in him, the Lord Jesus Christ, who justifies the ungodly, unbelievers, this person's faith is credited as absolute righteousness in grace. Abraham, the father of the Jewish race, did not do anything worth bragging about to obtain his so great salvation. He simply believed what the Lord Jesus Christ told him to do. We come to Bible study to do the exact same thing, to learn what the Word of God says. And we have the choice to freely obey everything that the Lord tells us to do in his Word. Abraham's faith was not an action. Abraham's faith was an attitude. And it is that same attitude that we come here to express through biblical study. An attitude that welcomes God's grace and that voluntarily follows everything that the Lord tells us to do. The Word of God refers to Bible study as a time of renewing, a great time to have your attitude changed by God. Proverbs chapter 8, verses 6 and 7 say this: Listen, for I, the Word of God, will speak noble things, and the opening of my lips, the Word of God's lips, will reveal right things. For my mouth will utter the truth. Welcome to a place where you can, in humility, receive the word implanted, which is able to deliver your souls. As God prepares you for the renewing of your mind and the celebration of the Lord's Supper, let's hear June Murphy worship our Lord in song as you think about all that the Lord has given you in grace. The opening song, I Stand Amazed at Grace.
Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. I'm not afraid to die. looking on, and that my love relationship with the Father might become a more intimate one. Well, I stand amazed at grace, for it's the power of God that's at grace. I stand amazed. I stand amazed. I stand amazed at grace. Thank
you, June. Let us pray.
Oh, we got a little reverb, huh?
Thank you, June. Let us pray.
We're grateful, Heavenly Father, for the privilege of studying the absolute truth, the Word of God. Call to our memories the changes the cross of Christ has made for us. We ask this through the power of God, the Holy Spirit, in Christ's name. Amen. Welcome to Barah Ministries. My name is Rory Clark. My spiritual gift is pastor-teacher. A gift given to me by God for the purpose of equipping you believers in Christ for the work of service. Welcome to a ministry designed for people who want to open themselves to what the Lord Jesus Christ has to offer. And that is a personal relationship powered by an unconditional love given as a gift from God to us. A relationship that is intense and personal and passionate. Today's study and our celebration of the Lord's Supper, unconditional love is given to us when we are at our worst. Unconditional love is given to us when we are at our worst. First, a few announcements. After today, the next celebration of the Lord's Supper is July 7th, 2013. Mark your calendars. Woo-hoo! Next week, the family will all be together. So We're looking to welcome our soon-to-be resident congregation to Barah Ministries and to Phoenix, Arizona next week. So next Saturday and Sunday, we'll celebrate with them, and it'll be really good to be sitting in a place and see all the family in one place together. So I expect all of you to be there. And here is the schedule, just for your information. So we begin on Saturday at 9 o'clock, and from 9 to 10, we'll have an introduction, so we'll get to meet are the people who are in this congregation but who are not resident. From 10 to 11, Pastor John Farley will be joining us, and he'll be teaching a lesson. And then from, I'm really excited to see my friend. From 11 to 12, I'll be teaching. And at 12 o'clock, I'll stick around for any questions that anybody might have about anything, if you want to know who the Nephilim are, or if you want to know if Adam had a belly button or anything like that, I'll be around to answer those questions. Then at 1:30, a catered get-together at the Brungbach House, and we'll have maps, I am assuming, to get there. So Saturday, okay, look okay as a schedule.
All right, great. And then Sunday from 8 to 8:45, June Murphy and Nancy Rubel will give a concert. And I don't expect that that's optional. I'd like you to be there. And there is a song that is dedicated especially to people in the soon-to-be resident congregation. Yeah, that's right. Get out of bed, Raphael. 8 o'clock. You got to get up early. Get in here. And so there is a there's a song that we have specially planned. And is that where we're going to do it, in the concert? Yeah, so we have a song specially planned for the people outside of the resident congregation. Then from 9 to 10:30, I will teach a lesson. From 10:30 to 11, we'll 11:15 or so, we'll celebrate the Lord's Supper. And then from 11:15 to 12, we'll have our closing ceremony. So 9 to 12 both days with a 1:30 on Saturday get-together, which should be a lot of fun. And we want everybody there. Yeah, it will be. This is a really rare opportunity to get together with everybody that's part of our congregation. So we'll see how big we are and how many people really care. And this is, you know, this is really a typical thing in churches. It's not unusual at all. The internet has really made this possible. But even in old times, back in when the church was forming, there were people who were resident to the congregation and people who weren't. And so this is a good chance for us to see all the people who are connected to us. Mark your calendars. These are the dates for No Face-to-Face Bible Study, June 30th, August 25th, September 1st, December 8th, and 29th. So some happy birthdays are in order. I think that, you know, if this list is any indication, our congregation members only have sex in September, or their parents, I think. You know, usually it's once a year in front of the Christmas tree, but these people actually deviated from that. Speaking of that, when is our next Barah Ministries arrival coming, Cheryl? July 10th? Okay, so you still have a month to go, huh? Four more weeks. Are you doing the Macarena on your bladder yet? Yeah. Yowie. All right, so some happy birthdays are in order to Norbert Baird, whose birthday was June 5th. To Monica Miller, whose birthday was June 7th. It's her fault. What'd you say? Oh, is that right? Norbert. Not Herbert. You just changed the guy's name. What the hell? He does look like a Herbert. Happy birthday to Jeremy Hollister, June 9th. So that's today, right? Happy birthday to Brittany Rousseau, a little French chicodie in Chicago, in Sandwich, Illinois. Happy birthday to Tom Slobig tomorrow. He's in Switzerland celebrating his birthday. Happy birthday to a good friend of Barah Ministries, Mark Pomeroy, June 12th. Yeah. Happy birthday to Jamie's dad, Jim, whose birthday is June 13th. And happy birthday to Philip Vlejo on June 14th. Yeah? Is that right? And then some other, yeah, you can clap. That's fine. And some other things. Stacy Snow, wait a minute. This didn't get in. I must not have downloaded the one. So these next ones, there's no slide, but I'll tell you them anyway. So Stacy Snow out in Beach Lake, I need your email address, please. So you can send that to pastor@barahministries.com so I can answer your fantastic letter. Prayers for Alex Leary, one of our college pukes at the University of California, San Diego. She is going to try to play soccer her senior year. She's had a lot of injury issues and a bad ankle. And so she's going to be getting some cortisone shots to see if she can operate on that ankle and play her senior year at least. It's been really frustrating for her to be on a team but not to get to play or always have something unfortunate happen. So her prayers in order for her. Also prayers for Ashley Lipinski, one of our recent college graduates. Her grandfather died, and she had another person in her family die. And then she's a rugby player, tough chick, so recently she had a concussion, and it really shook her up. She had a little cuckoo birds circling her head. So some prayers for her health, her prayers for her family as they go through a very difficult time. Barah Ministries on Pal Talk. I talked to Larry, or I corresponded with Larry via email, and he sent me a way to get into the royal family room, but I tried it and could not get in, so we'll have that fixed by next week, and I'll be able to communicate to you how to get in. Did he send you an invitation, Jenny? No, not yet. So we'll take care of that. But he responded, but I couldn't get in and do what he said. But Barah Ministries is on Pal Talk, Monday to Friday at 7 p.m. Central, which is 5 p.m. here. And you can get on by downloading the software at paltalk.com, choosing a nickname for yourself, signing into the Royal Family Room, and then listening. And the three lessons from Sunday are played along with two others so that you could have listen to the study every night. Next, let's take the offering. Let's welcome up Deacon Elliot Clark, whoever. Whoever. One of you guys, come on up and do it. Yeah, I put the wrong lesson in here. That's what happened. Hello, Deacon Elliot Clark.
I just want to see what it was like to be pastor for a second. Get three extra crackers than everybody else.
Did you eat my crackers?
I ate one of them. Teaching the kids is tiring. I'm Deacon L.A. Clark. God provides Bible doctrine through his grace, and we hope to reflect his grace. Barah Ministries functions entirely on generous donations. There is no charge for the Bible Doctrine here at BarahMinistries.com. This allows anyone, anywhere, to freely receive the Word of God. Gratitude for the Word of God inspires believers to give of their time, talent, and treasure. I was reflecting on these opening statements this past week, and I'm sure most of you have them memorized at this point. But the reason we open every week with this offering, with this message, is that we can't stress enough that the Word of God is free. We don't tell you to tithe. We don't tell you that you have to give. We don't guilt trip you. It's God's grace and your willing support that keeps this ministry functioning. But in reflecting on this opening statement, I focused on the concluding sentence. Gratitude for the Word of God inspires believers to give of their time, talent, and treasure. I realized how incomplete this is. You see, God never asked us for our time. God never asked us for our treasure, and God never asked us for our talent. God asked us for our lives. The Bible says in John chapter 15, verse 13, "Greater love has no one than this, than one lay down his life for his friends." It doesn't say, "Greater love has no one than this, than one lay down his time for his friends, or his talent for his friends, or his treasure for his friends." It says life. When Jesus Christ was selecting his apostles, he didn't tell the men, "You can keep doing what you're doing, just make sure you allot some time to me." He didn't tell them, "You can keep doing what you're doing, just make sure you set aside some of your finances to support my ministry." He didn't tell them, "Use your talents from time to time to bring people to me." Jesus Christ said, "Drop what you're doing and follow me." He told the people to sell everything they had in order to follow him. He told men to leave their families without saying goodbye to follow him. God asks us for our lives. You see, our life is more than our time and our talent and our treasure. But I firmly believe that when we see verses like John 15, 13, we don't take them seriously. I mean, God doesn't literally want us to lay down our life. God doesn't really want us to lose our life. Jesus Christ sets the example by dying on the cross, but then when it comes to us, he's figurative, because he's poetic like that, right? God is literal. God wants your life. Now, what that looks like, I can't answer that. But I can say the first life we should lay down is Raphael's, for forgetting Norbert's name. I don't know what that looks like, but the point is that God wants our life. Another thing we say is that gratitude for the Word of God inspires us to give. But it's not the gratitude that inspires us to give, it's God's love. The love that we're learning about is for the purpose of inspiring you to lay down your life. So we thank you for your continued support of this ministry, and as you give, do so because of your willingness to lay down your life. And that doesn't mean just financially. Thank you.
That was not for me. So I thought it was time for me to get what's mine and to do it all, everything I dreamed. What I thought was the best for me turned to be all the worst I could find. If I run to you, will you hold me in your arms forevermore? If I run to you,
again?
Turn it on.
I did turn it on.
It gives it a second.
Rory Clark in the nighttime on Rockin' Radio CILFM. Your chance to call in and win coming up in minutes. Are we good? Awesome. So with all due respect to Deacon Elliot Clark, a couple of things. So first of all, we want to get doctrine out of that message because we're not teaching doctrine. We're teaching biblical thought, right? And if you want to take time, talent, and treasure out and put life in, I'm all for it. Because I think we do agree with Scripture. And with all due respect to your opinion, I think you know exactly what laying down your life looks like because you've watched it for 22 years in your father. And you know what kind of freak life I have. And that life has been to lay down my life for my friends. And you do the exact same thing. So you know exactly what that life is like because you've been doing it for your friends forever. And that life is fantastic. That's what that life is like. I agree with his sentiment about this. We lay down our lives for our friends, and I'm excited about what Barah Ministries is going to be doing as we go into the future, as we continue to lay down our lives. You know, you guys who teach the kids, yeah, that's tiring. It's a lot of hard work. And, you know, they got the attention span of a grape, you know, and they come in with these little things. You go, oh, look, I built a bridge with hands across it. Oh, yay, great. You know, we got to pretend like we think that that's wonderful and everything. But, you know, it actually is wonderful that at this age they're being exposed to the truth of the Word of God. It beats the hell out of exposing them to video games. So, you know, we're doing some things here. And one of the reasons I want you to be at the homecoming this weekend is to see the group of people who really supports this ministry financially, even though they don't even see. They don't get to see the things that you get to see every week, yet they support this this ministry with a faith that's absolutely amazing. And so I'm looking forward to seeing our family come on in. Today we celebrate the Lord's Supper. Unconditional love is given to us when we are at our worst. Unconditional love is given to us when we are at our worst. The Lord's Supper is a table of fellowship designed by God for believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a reenactment of a portion of the Feast of the Unleavened Bread, which is the Jewish Passover celebration. And it is a commemoration of the finished work of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ at the cross. John chapter 19, verse 30 says this, "Therefore, when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, 'Tetelestai, it is finished.' And he bowed his head and gave up his human spirit to the right hand of God the Father. At the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ finished many things. Among them, he finished the need for us to strive to please him by doing things. Because we can't disappoint God. Psalm 46, verse 10 says, 'Cease striving and know that I am God.' He's the one who's doing all the things. It is finished. Ask Christians to remember and to believe that all of the things that are important to our lives are already done on our behalf. They don't need doing. They are credited to us as a favor, with no need to work for the favors, but to simply accept and enjoy the favors. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 says, 'Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us, believers in Christ, with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ.' How many? Every. All. Done. Nothing needs to be done. We believe this promise, and we accept it as an established fact. So when we come together monthly to celebrate the Lord's Supper, we look back to the cross. Regarding the Lord's Supper, we are commanded, 'This do in remembrance of me.' So when we look at the cross, what we as Christians must always see is love. Because the Lord Jesus Christ demonstrated his unconditional love for us at the cross. And so we look at that cross and we see love. Not love talked about, love demonstrated. 1 John chapter 4, verse 8 says, "The one who does not love unconditionally does not know God. Because God is the very definition of unconditional love." So as a result of the cross, our sins are forgiven once and for all time. But how often have you been to churches that make sin an issue? who say, if you don't stop sinning, then God won't love you. Does that sound unconditional to you? Now, don't make any mistakes here. Don't get goofy. God does not want you to sin. But when we do sin, we have an advocate with God the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he himself is the only perfectly satisfactory payment, the propitiation for our sins as believers in Christ, but not only for ours, but for the sins of the whole world. And so we need to stop this foolishness about sin because it is a direct attack against the cross of Christ. Colossians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14 say this, God the Father rescued us as unbelievers from the domain of darkness, and he transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. We are redeemed. We have been purchased from the slavery of the sin nature. We have been purchased from bondage, and we are free to love. We are forgiven. We have been given to, and we are forgiven, and we are loved, and we have freedom, and we have grace. The Lord Jesus Christ said to his apostles in John chapter 15, verse 13, greater unconditional love has no one than this, that one laid down his life for his friends. And that is exactly what our Lord did for us at the cross. He laid down his life for his friends. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ's attitude toward all mankind. He sees all of his creatures as his friends, but some of his creatures set themselves up as his enemies. That is not something God did. It is not the way God sees them. It's the way they see God as an enemy. The Lord Jesus Christ's unconditional love for us is an established fact. It is irrevocable. It cannot be changed. We celebrate today our acceptance of this beautiful, unselfish love. We accept this reality as part of our lives. Our God has given us marvelous gifts, and he did the work to provide the gifts like salvation, and we gladly accept the gift. And we celebrate these gifts at each Lord's Supper. We remember the established facts that pertain to a Lord who demonstrated his unconditional love for us by laying down his life for us. And he only asks us to accept what he has done for us, and he asks us to take time to remember, not for his benefit, but for our own. Therefore, following God's requests, we keep on celebrating Christ on a regular basis. We eat to remember who he is, and we drink to remember the voluntary work, the voluntary sacrifice that he made on our behalf. And we celebrate because we are grateful. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 and 24 say this, I, Paul, received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus Christ, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it. And he said, this is and keeps on being my body, which is broken for you. Keep on doing this for the purpose of remembering me. And so when we eat the bread during the Lord's Supper celebration, we remember the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 25 and 26 say this, in the same way the Lord Jesus Christ took the cup, which represented his death on the cross, also after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in the sphere of my blood, in my spiritual and physical death. Keep on doing this as often as you drink it for the purpose of remembering me. For as often as you eat this bread and as often as you drink this cup, you will proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. And so when we drink the cup, we remember the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. So please enjoy the bread and the cup. And as you do, we'll listen to the Lord's Supper song, Give Thanks. Thank you.
because he's given Jesus Christ his Son. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich, because of what the Lord has done for us. And now let the weak say,
Jenny, these people up here are picking on me. Welcome back. Are you ready? So turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 5. Let's begin at verse 1. Romans chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. That's in the New Testament. Don't worry, it won't bite you, brother. It's just a book. You've read books before. Most of them had obscene pictures on them. This is a little different. Amen? Romans chapter 5, verse 1. He's not even paying attention to me. He's like, I'm not listening to you. You're being mean to me. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. In Romans chapter 5, the first 11 verses inform us of the glorious results that come from being justified by faith, the details of which are covered in Romans chapter 4. So Romans chapter 4, here's how you are justified by faith. Romans chapter 5, here's all the things that happen. So first, in verse 1, we learn about our past. Therefore, having been justified by means of faith, that is, by being legally declared by God to be in the sphere of God's absolute righteousness and established as an irrevocable fact in the past, we believers in Christ now have peace with God the Father through our Lord Jesus Christ. What does that mean exactly? It means that you have the same benefits that were afforded to the spiritual greats like King David, like Abraham, like Moses. God credited his absolute righteousness to your account at the moment of salvation. And as a result, you have peace. God has nothing against you. Romans chapter 5, verse 2 tells us about our present in the A part. Romans chapter 5, verse 2a says, the Lord Jesus Christ, through whom additionally we have obtained our direct access to God by means of our faith that we expressed in the past at the moment of salvation. And that puts us into this sphere of grace in which we stand right now. So because of our salvation decision, we have peace. God has nothing against us. Because of our salvation decision, we stand in the sphere of grace right now. The grace in which we stand. Right now, it tells us about our glorious future. What is grace? First, our present. What is grace? Grace is a playground of freedom, in which you are free to learn, free to grow, free to make mistakes, knowing that God accepts you and that he loves you unconditionally, knowing that God forgives you, knowing that it is his will to give everything to you. God's grace makes it clear that he is totally for you, therefore no one or nothing can be successful against you. Romans chapter 5, verse 2b tells us about our future, and what is that? We believers in Christ exult with inward confidence in the future hope, that is, in the confident expectation of the glory of God. In the future, we are guaranteed that we will glorify God. You're invited to a guaranteed future within the sphere of God's glory forever and ever. Romans chapter 5, verses 3 to 5 tells us, not only this, not only peace, not only the sphere of grace in which to stand, not only the hope of glory, but we believers in Christ also exult in our tribulations, the tough things, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance proven character, and proven character hope. Tribulation is like exercise to us. It strengthens us. Romans 5:5, and hope, absolute confidence in God through our faith in Christ, does not disappoint. It does not put us to shame because the unconditional love of God the Father has been poured out within our hearts through God the Holy Spirit, who was given to us as a pledge. With the Lord Jesus Christ on your side, you can see tribulation as one of the many gifts that we have from God. The Lord gives us the ability to endure difficulty without quitting. The Lord gives us distinctive qualities that make us obviously different as Christians from others. We have the absolute confidence that God can and will deliver us in every circumstance. The indwelling Holy Spirit is our pledge of an eternal security, of safety, of victory, of a life That is fully guaranteed. Now let's look at the new part. Romans chapter 5, beginning at verse 6 and going to verse 8. Paul makes us aware of three significant results that come from the cross, which are further demonstration of God's unconditional love for all of his creatures. Romans chapter 5, verse 6. While we were still, and even though we were helpless, condemned to the lake of fire from the point of physical birth and unable to achieve our own salvation, in due time, the Lord Jesus Christ died for us as spiritually dead unbelievers. Listen to that. Do you understand that? What do religions tell us? That if you just go get baptized, you'll be saved. There's some truth to that lie. When you express faith alone in Christ alone, you're baptized by God the Holy Spirit. But it's nothing that you did. And that's good news. Because if God does your salvation, then your salvation's done. And that's what happens. See, if you do your salvation, you're in trouble. If God does your salvation, once he does it, he never changes. And then you're in good shape. You see? So while we were helpless, while we were enemies, while we were condemned to the lake of fire, while we were worthless, helpless, hopeless, what did unconditional love do? Saved us. Why do we feel inadequate then? Why do we worry about our inadequacy when we feel inadequate, when we are weak, that's when we're strong because the power of Christ dwells in us. Why do we worry about our inadequacies? It's those times when we're at our worst. It's those times when everything seems the worst that God comes through for us the most. See, there's no truer testimony to unconditional love than what God does for his creatures when they are unlovable, as sinners, as spiritually dead unbelievers. I was interacting with a young lady last night, and she said, God is not able to, and this is from our legalistic background, she said, God's not able to even connect himself to imperfect people. You remember when we heard that? Do you? God's not able to look on us as imperfect people. What? Does that sound like anything like unconditional love? God loved us when we were unlovable. That's what makes him significant. Who doesn't love those that are lovable? He loved us when we were the worst. That's what makes him special. That's what makes unconditional love special in your relationships. What merit do you have as a person when you love somebody when they're doing what you want them to do? Do you love them when they're not? That's the test. He loved us when we were helpless. He loved us when we were hopeless. He loved us when we were sinners. He loved us when we were condemned. He loved us when we were trying to save ourselves. He loved us when we were atheists. He loved us when we were an agnostic. He loved us when we were religious. He loved us when we were legalists. That's love. That's a true testimony. Think of all the people in the world who have bought the satanic lie that there's something that we can do to assist in our salvation. How about all of our Mormon friends? I have a lot of Mormon friends. They have all told me, I want to earn my salvation. I say, that would be nice if you could, but you can't. You can earn it by opening a free gift. We buy those lies. If I just get water baptized, I can be saved. If I just go to church, I can be saved. If I just feel sorry for my sins, I can be saved. If I just give enough money tithing, I can be saved. God will bless me. You name the distortion. Yet when we are ungodly, the Lord Jesus Christ came to the earth, came down from the mountain to give his life to make our salvation possible. Greater love has no one than this, than he would lay down his life for his friends. In Romans chapter 5, verse 7, it says, one will hardly, that is rarely, die for a good man, though perhaps for the good man some would even dare to be brave enough to die. You know, there are some who die for righteous men, right? The military establishment comes to mind. Soldiers die for good men. Police come to mind. Firefighters come to mind. They are people of integrity who protect people of integrity. They're willing to die for good men. But truly, no man wants to die for anyone. Yet the Lord Jesus Christ was willing to die for all mankind. What does Romans chapter 5, verse 8 say? God the Father demonstrates his own unconditional love toward all mankind. And that while we were yet sinners, as strengthless unbelievers, that's what sinners means, as strengthless ones, the Lord Jesus Christ died as a substitute for us. The Greek says, God the Father commends his love toward us. It's translated demonstrated here, but it's really a sales term. He gives us his love as a sales commission for doing nothing. That's paying someone who does nothing. Isn't that the dream of every person, to get paid without doing the work? Well, there's one place where that actually happens in the matter of salvation. You get paid with a so great salvation without doing any of the work. To all of us, I can only say one thing. Amazing is the grace that saved a wretch like me. Amazing is the grace that saved a wretch like you. Let's close this Lord's Supper celebration with a song. June Murphy with What Held You on the Cross.
I'm getting to know you more. I've given you my life. You lay down your life for me, a death without a fight. You hung there upon the cross. Your spiritual death set me free. The picture's clear. The Holy Spirit helped me to see. That led you to that truth. What made you make the sacrifice to save a wretch like me? I know it's true. I know that you are fully God and fully man. You made it clear to me. You've helped me to understand what hell. I believe the work you've done for me, and this is what I have to say. What held you on the cross was more than just a name, in separation from the Father, you chose to pay such a price. Your justice, grace, and your love for me is what held you on the cross. You saw me, everything about me. You've always known, you knew my life would be in darkness. So you and you alone would You said it is finished after you became a sin substitute for me. What held you on when you could have walked away? I believe the work you've done for me, and this is what I have to say. And your love for me is what held you on the cross. I don't deserve your mercy still. You love me just the same. You died and rose again, and I will forever and ever and ever praise your name. I believe the work you've done for me, and this is what I have to say. What held you on the cross was more than just a name. In separation from the Father, you chose to make sense. Your justice, grace, and your love for me is what held you.
June, I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he might promote you at the proper time, slamming all your cares on his back, because God considers your problems to be his responsibility. He cares for you. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling, to make you stand in the presence of his glory, blameless and with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Let us pray. Almighty God and Father, thank you for sending your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to stay on that cross for us. And thank you for that one word that means so much, unconditional love. That love that you have for us, that caused you to give us all things. And when you looked down the corridors of time and you saw that your creatures that you love so much would betray you, thank you for ignoring it and going on with your plan, a plan for our welfare and our benefit, to give us a future and a hope. And I pray that all who are at the other end of this love will come to recognize the beauty of it and the power of it, to come to recognize that it is the only thing that matters in this crazy world, and that they will welcome with open arms a relationship with you and with your Spirit and with your Son. We pray that you continue to shape the messages from this pulpit that are an accurate reflection of your unconditional love, your person, your thinking, your work, and your essence. We ask this through the power of God the Holy Spirit, in Christ's name. Amen. Thanks for coming, thanks for watching, and thanks for listening.